It is so very good to see all of you here this evening. I cannot begin to tell you how much this week has meant to Linda and I and Jennifer as well. This has indeed been a homecoming, coming back to the congregation that we love dearly, laboring with someone for 16 years. There are bonds between us that time and distance will never sever. And you know that we love each and every one of you. You are our family. I want to thank Matt and Allison for their hospitality and opening their house to us this week. It was just a blessing just to be around them again for the times we could be together. I miss my football buddy. He's the one that tolerates my craziness when people score. And the hospitality you've shown to us in taking us out to eat, thank you so much. The food has been wonderful, but the primary thing we enjoyed was just your company, just being in your presence again. I want to take time out to thank Chris and Summer. Thank you so much for coming and working with the congregation here. I told y'all a long time ago I could sense the congregation was about to grow and take off. I believe we're going into a new chapter of this congregation here. Congregation are always in transition. They're always in transition. This congregation is also in transition, but it's going forward. It's going forward, I believe, because the Lord is giving the increase. And seeing the beams next door that was erected today tells me the increase has been given to us by the Lord. I have a gut feeling that if you look in the foyer, you'll see there's a picture there of an old white church building that used to be over here on the left. I imagine whenever they saw this frame here, this A-frame going up, they probably had similar feelings that a new chapter is beginning. But please make no mistake about it. All the growth that is taking place here in this congregation is teamwork. This is the work of a congregation, and those that have gone on and finished the race ahead of us, we are standing on their shoulders. And this is the fruit of the labor of many, many people through many, many years. But Chris and Summer, you are a great blessing to this congregation. And when they told me that you were going to be the ones coming here, I was so happy and so rejoicing. And yes, I do believe in Providence. Everybody knows that. And I do believe you're meant to be here. Our lesson tonight is going to start over in John 21, the very last chapter of John. And in the context here, Jesus has risen from the dead. He appeared to his disciples, the apostles, once, with Thomas being absent. And then he appeared to the apostles a second time, Thomas being present. And then after that, they left Jerusalem and went down to Galilee, and here they are at the Sea of Galilee, and they're waiting on Jesus because Jesus told them to go to Galilee, and he would show himself to them there. We learned from over in Corinthians at one time he showed himself to over 500 brethren at one time. So here they are down in Galilee, and they're waiting on Jesus to show himself again to them during the 40 days that he was openly showing himself to people, but he hadn't come yet. And so they're here at the Sea of Galilee, waiting on Jesus. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. If you don't know this, Peter, James, and John were business partners at one time. They were professional fishermen, and they had been on the Sea of Galilee multitudes of times in their past life. And so here they are down by the Sea of Galilee, and they're waiting on Jesus, and they're waiting on Jesus, and he's not here yet. So what are we supposed to do? What are we going to do? And here comes the fisherman, Peter. "I'm going fishing." So that's what he knew how to do. Now, I kind of have a gut feeling he's like other fishermen. He enjoyed fishing. And here's James and John. "You're going fishing? We're going fishing with you." And the other disciples and apostles that we see here, they all get together and they all get in the boat and they all go out and they fish all night long. Boy, folks, that's patience. They didn't catch anything all night long. As you go further in the text in verse 4, it says, "But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish." It is this event that triggers a memory in the mind of John. "Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread." Now, as you read this in the 21st chapter, this may not ring a bell of memory in your mind, because the events we're going to be reading about here in Luke 5 in just a moment did not happen to you. But I guarantee you there are events in your life that were so strong of an event that impacted your life so much, they are burned into your memory and your mind. Let me ask you this. Do you find yourself, when you hear certain songs, taking yourself back to when you were earlier in your life, when you were hearing that song for the first time, and events that were surrounding that song at that time? I can do that with multitudes of songs. I can tell you where I was when I heard them the first time and events that were happening in my life. And then there are events in my life that were so important, so strong, they left such a deep impression on my mind that I can very easily just close my eyes and go back in memory and replay all the events over in my mind again, such as the day I eloped or the day I was baptized. I can go back and replay those in my mind and remember them quite vividly. Now, you need to understand, this event that's happening here in John 21 is an echo of an event that happened in the life of Peter, James, and John in the past that you find over in the book of Luke in chapter 5, 1 through 11. I'm going to go and read from the outline now. If you don't have a copy of the outline, I'm reading from Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat." And so here Jesus is at the Sea of Gennesaret. If you don't know that, it's also called the Sea of Tiberias. It's also called the Sea of Galilee. They're all the same sea. And so now here Jesus is teaching the people, and he's in the boat of Peter. In verse 4 it says, "When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." Kind of sound familiar? You're starting to see the echo? Let's look at Luke 5, 1 through 11. "He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and John 21 is the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same sea, the Sea of Galilee. And Luke 5, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. You find them here in John 21. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, there they are. And then when you go back to Luke 5, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." And then when you go to John 21, "And that night they caught nothing." Now then, when you go further in Luke 5, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. When you go over to John, cast a net out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. You see, the event over here in John 21 is an echoing of the event when Jesus called Peter, James, and John to be his apostles. And that event took place when Jesus was preaching in Peter's boat, and Peter hadn't caught anything. And that's when he told him to go out, let your nets down. He hadn't caught anything all night. But he did it because Jesus told him to do it. And he caught so many fish that the net was breaking. That's why John was able to know it's Jesus up there, because it was an echo of an event that was so strong in his mind, because it was the time when he became an apostle and Peter and James became apostles following Jesus. Going back to Luke 5. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. You see, I believe the event that is happening here in John 21, the reason it is an echo of going back to Luke 5 is because Peter is out fishing for fish when he's meant to be fishing for men. At the very beginning, when he was called by Jesus to follow him, he tells him, look at this, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. In Mark's account in chapter 1 and 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. If you read the text here going back to John, you'll find in 21 and 19, the very last thing Jesus said to them is, follow me. He's getting back to their purpose. Their purpose is to follow Jesus. And their purpose that they needed to be reminded of was to be fishers of men. 2 Peter now, chapter 1, 8 through 9. Second revelation recorded through the Apostle Peter. In this text he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. The text here is dealing with someone who's obeyed the gospel. And after you've obeyed the gospel, you're supposed to be adding to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You're supposed to be adding these Christian attributes to your faith and growing in all of them. And they're supposed to be growing in you to the point to where they're in you and abounding. And he says, if they're in you and abounding, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he goes on further and he says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble, you'll never fall. But if you don't grow as a Christian, if you don't grow in your virtue, if you don't grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, if you don't grow in the Christian attributes, you will find yourself getting to the point to where you're short-sighted. You will get to the point of being blind. And what you're forgetting is that you obeyed the gospel at one time. You are washed of your sins and you're in Christ. You're forgiven. Again, I told you one of the things that is in my mind that I cannot forget is when I obeyed the gospel. Can you remember when you obeyed the gospel, what it was like? Do you remember the joy of knowing I'm forgiven? The Lord has forgiven me of my sins. I'm in the body of Christ now. I'm a Christian. I have seen this as a preacher in the lives of so many people who obey the gospel, that when they obey the gospel, they are on fire. They have learned how to be saved. They've learned how to find their way to God through Jesus Christ. And they want to tell others and share with others what they've learned. And unfortunately, sometimes fire goes out. And they start becoming lackadaisical and start sliding backward and getting weaker. And they're not studying anymore. And all of a sudden, they quit coming to worship services. And the next thing you know, they're gone. You need to understand, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process to where you lose your zeal, you lose your joy, you lose the fervor, the fervent desire to tell people what you've learned, and you become comfortable. And you think you know enough, and you've learned enough, and you're strong enough now, you don't need to grow anymore, you don't need to be adding these things to your faith anymore, you don't need to be working and growing as a Christian anymore, you got enough to make it to heaven. Listen, folks. If you think you can put it on cruise control, you're going backwards spiritually. It is always going forward and growing more like Jesus Christ every day. And the one who's not going forward gets to the point, as he says here, to where you're short-sighted, even to the point of blindness, to where you can't see anymore where you are and how you're going backwards and backwards and backwards. Again, the reason I'm telling you this is because I'm trying to remind you that as children of God, we have a purpose. Our purpose, every single one of us, not just the preacher, not just the elders, is to take the Word of God that we have learned and share it with others. We are to let people in the world around us know how to be saved. When was the last time, if ever, you've talked to anyone about how to be saved? Why are you keeping it to yourself? Please understand and remember your purpose. We are to be fishers of men. It is so easy to get caught up in this world and all the activities in this world that we lose focus of what it's really all about. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, he speaks about the thorny ground here, and he talks about how the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, they enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Look at this. The cares of this world. Folks, it takes a lot of work to just survive in the American culture. Just to pay your bills. Just to be able to pay for the food and the clothing and the shelter. And then you got the health bills. And then you got the all this coming at you from all directions. And it is so easy to get caught up in this world and trying to take care of ourselves in this world that we lose focus. That this world's not our home. It's not all about this world. It's about heaven. It's about being with God and coming to God through Jesus Christ. We can get so caught up in the cares of this world that we lose focus of our purpose. We are the body of Christ. And we have work that we are supposed to be doing. Not just preachers, the body as a whole. All of us are to be engaged in the work of the kingdom. And this is something I've said numerous times up in Arkansas, and I'm going to say it here. Attendance is not work. Just because you come to the building and worship God, good. But work is more than that. It's getting involved in people's lives. Being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that has to do with your contact with people, interacting with people, influence upon people. And we should be sharing with people our knowledge of how to go to heaven and not put the light under the bushel. Remember your purpose. Do not get caught up in the desire for other things. Do not get caught up in the deceitfulness of riches to where your mind and your eyes are all on this world. But get back to where we're supposed to be with our eyes on heaven. It doesn't mean don't live here. Don't take care of your responsibilities here. Just understand, as the old song says, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. You try to hold it together as best you can with what you got where you are in this life, but please understand, this world is not what it's about. You can try to hold it together as best you can with what you got as long as you can, but guess what? It's still going to fall apart. And if you can hold it together as best you can while you're alive, after you leave, it's going to fall apart. Your material possessions are decaying as we stand here. Your body is getting older as I'm standing here. Then set your mind on the eternal and not the temporary. And try to help other people see their way out of the darkness to the eternal, to where they can learn about the way to God. Revelation chapter 2, 4 through 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This is what the Lord said to the church in Ephesus. They left their first love. I believe he's talking about their love for God and their love for Christ. You understand, the primary command is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Do you love God? Do you remember how you felt before you obeyed the gospel when you realized He did this for me? He died for me. He was scourged for me. He gave His Son for me. Do you remember when you started loving somebody you've never seen? Do you love Him stronger and more now than you did then? Or again, have we got so caught up in our own lives and trying to hold together all the physical things that we lose focus of our purpose? Our purpose is, first of all, I want to make sure I make it to heaven, and I want to help as many as I can to get there. Remember your purpose, please. Do not allow all the cares of this world and all the things that are trying to get your attention in this world to break your focus that we are all supposed to be fishers of men. We are all supposed to be working to bring in the harvest. Now then, let's go back to Matthew. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. You need to understand that John 21 and the events that are happening here in John 21 go back to this particular event in the life of Peter. When Peter and the other disciples have all told Jesus, "We're not going to deny you." And Peter went as far as saying, "I'll die with you, but I will not deny you." Did he mean it? Of course he meant it. I believe he meant it with every fiber of his being. And yet in Luke 22:3, we find where Jesus continues talking about this event, says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." This is a verse about the denial of Jesus that Peter did that sometimes is overlooked. And that is, Jesus knew he was going to depart. But he also knew he was going to return. And he told him it was something he wanted him to do when he did return. And that was, strengthen your brethren. It wasn't just Peter that fled that night. It wasn't just Peter. Every single one of them ran away. But let's focus in on Peter now. Getting back to Matthew 26. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Reading this from Luke's account, Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Let me ask you, when you read that, can you, to a certain degree, see the piercing look of Jesus at Peter? Because he understands and he knows, you just denied me for the third time. Do you think Peter ever forgot that event and how he felt? Do you think he ever forgot how Jesus looked when he looked at him? I don't think he ever forgot it. As a matter of fact, I know from reading 2 Peter, and you'll see this later on, he never forgot it. In John 21, going back to this now, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" Verse 16. "He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" So let's put this all together now. From Matthew 26:70, "But he denied before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.'" Continuing in the same chapter. "But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And finally, 'Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man.'" Every time he denied him, it got stronger and stronger. Second time with an oath, a third time he's cussing and cursing, saying, "I don't know the man." You need to understand, this is why Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter understood it. That's why you find in every one of these instances, Peter being asked the same question, "Do you love me?" Look at the last one here at the bottom, 21:17. "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." What's taking place here? What's taking place here is restoration of relationship. Peter, just a few days earlier, had denied Jesus three times. Folks, you need to understand, that's sin. And Jesus is not sweeping it under the rug, acting like it never happened and he never did it. He's coming back to that point of sin and he's going straight into it and dealing with it head on. And so he's asking him to affirm three times that he loves him. Going over to Psalms 51 now, 10 through 13. I wanted to go to this particular text because in this chapter, David, who unfortunately had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after she conceived with child, trying to hide that sin, he had Uriah the Hittite murdered. Nathan the prophet came to David and told him a story about a man coming in and taking a little ewe lamb from his neighbor, killing it to feed somebody. When David heard that, he was enraged. Who is the man? Deserves death. And Nathan points a finger at him and said, "You are the man." And after David is convicted in his conscience of his sin that he has committed, this is when he, through the Holy Spirit, writes Psalms 51. You need to understand Psalms 51 is a psalm of repentance. David doesn't act like he didn't do it. Just like Nathan went straight into it, when David is told the reality of what he's done, David deals with it. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." I'm going to stop right there. Notice verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Listen to me, folks. You know this is true. When there's sin standing between you and your God, and you know you're guilty of it, and you know you haven't dealt with it, you will never be at peace. Because in your mind, you're knowing, "I'm not right with God." And as long as you know in your heart and mind, when you're honest with yourself, "I'm not right with God," you will never have true inner peace. David is wanting a restoration of the joy of his salvation. And the only way there can be a restoration of the joy of his salvation is to be forgiven. And David is approaching God with a broken and contrite spirit, wanting to be cleansed of his sins. Brethren, the point I'm trying to get across is this. Just like Jesus did not act like Peter hadn't done anything wrong and we just kind of look the other way and sweep it under the rug, he's not going to sweep it under the rug. He's not going to act like nothing happened. You go straight into the problem and deal with it. And the problem, listen now, has got to be dealt with. And the problem is sin. When we sin, brethren, the worst thing we can do is close our eyes to the reality of what we have done and act like it's not there. And act like maybe if we just not talk about it, not look at it, not think about it, it'll just go away. You have to face up to it and go straight into it and deal with it. And the way you deal with it is with a broken and contrite spirit, seeking to be forgiven by God and having the restoration of relationship with God, so you can have the restoration of the joy of your salvation by knowing I'm right with God now because I have been forgiven by my God. Now let's look at verse 13. After God is willing to forgive him and renew a steadfast spirit within him and restore the joy of his salvation to him, then David says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Please look at this. After David is seeking forgiveness from God, he understands after the forgiveness has been given, David in turn is going to go to other sinners and show them that they too can be forgiven. That's the beauty of Christianity, folks. We can be forgiven. But to have forgiveness from God, you got to deal with the sin. You can't act like it's just going to go away on its own or God's not going to bring it up. In Proverbs 28:13, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. If you want mercy from God, if you want forgiveness from God, you've got to deal with them. You've got to confess them. You've got to look in reality and see what you've done. Take it to God. Seek forgiveness from God, repenting of the sins, forsaking them. And God will forgive you. To have the restoration of purpose actually being carried out, it has to begin with the restoration of relationship with God. And if the relationship is broken because of sin in your life, it is up to you to deal with it and face it and take it to God, confessing it to Him and turning from it. To have the restoration of the relationship with God. Now then, let's go over to 2 Peter. I told you Peter never forgot. This is the last revelation received through the Apostle Peter before he died. Notice, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 1. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present. All right, just notice at the very beginning, he's not negligent to remind them. Although they already know these things, he's teaching them. When you go down to the 13th verse, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And you need to understand, verse 14 is going back to what Jesus showed him back here in John 21. Because it's in John 21 where Jesus talks about the death of Peter. When you go to the 15th verse, moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. That's why he's writing 1 Peter, 2 Peter, is so even after he's dead and gone, they'll have a reminder of these things after he's dead. So let me show you something here now. After Jesus asked him, do you love me? What was Jesus' response? Feed my lambs. Feed in my sheep. Feed my sheep. But when you go to 2 Peter, you will see, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, to stir you up by reminding you, that you may always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I don't think that's a coincidence that he uses that terminology three times in close proximity. Because what he was told to do was feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep if you love me. And so when he realizes he's about to die, he's going to realize, I'm going to go out feeding the sheep. Feeding the sheep. And even after I'm dead and gone, I want to see to it that the sheep are fed. He understood his purpose. And he carried out his purpose all the way to the close of his life. He had a restoration of relationship with Jesus, and then a restoration of purpose, and carried out his purpose to his death. You see the lesson, don't you? It's not hard to see at all. We need to get to restoration of relationship with Jesus and God. To where we have the love for God. To where, if we're asked by God, do you love me? What would be your answer? Hopefully your answer would be a resounding, yes, I love you. Okay then, feed his sheep, feed his sheep, feed his sheep. Remember your purpose, feed his sheep. In Luke 22:3, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Psalm 51, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. There was a time when Jesus was in the house of Simon, and this woman who was a sinner in the city, she came in, crying, washing his feet with her tears, drying his feet with her hair. Simon was thinking to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know that the woman that was touching him was a sinner. That's when Jesus asked Simon a question. And what Jesus was driving at was this. The one who has been forgiven much loves much. The one who's been forgiven little loves little. I got a question. Are any of you here this evening? Are any of you have been forgiven just a little? Or have all of us been forgiven much? Please remember what it took for our forgiveness to be possible. You remember what Paul said in the Galatian letter? Third chapter, I believe it is, around 20. Nope. Forget where it is. Galatians. I know it's Galatians. It's no longer I who live. He talked about how he's been crucified with Christ. And the life which I now live, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God, now get this, who loved me, gave himself for me. The reason I'm going back to this, brethren, is I'm trying to bring your minds back to the love of God for you. The love of Jesus Christ for you. He loved me personally. He knew I was going to blow it. He knew you were going to blow it. He knows you personally. And he died for you personally. It is knowing and believing the love that God has for us that causes us to love God back. And what I'm trying to encourage you is to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love him much because you've been forgiven much. Have a restoration of your zeal. Have a restoration of your love for God. Have a restoration of your desire to feed his sheep and to get the word of God sounding forth from us. Let's go back to this. 1 Peter 5, 2. Here Peter, who was an elder, is speaking to elders. And notice what he tells them to do. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Shepherds, feed the flock. I cannot begin to tell you the joy that I have when I see this congregation's growth. I can sense and see and have always been able to sense and see that you honestly love one another and that you love God. Please open your eyes and realize something's happening. You are having talent from all over the state coming together in this one location. Are you not realizing this? You got talent, 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 talent coming together at one time in this location for a purpose to sound forth the word of God, to get the seed out of the barn, to bring in the harvest. There is so much work that can be done. The work is not finished. There's harvest to bring in. There's a reason you're all here right now. Remember your purpose. Ministers, teachers, shepherds, deacons, remember your purpose. Get to the restoration of zeal to do the work God has given you to do. If there's sin, go straight into it. If there's a problem with sin and a brother or sister in Christ in this congregation, you don't sweep it under the rug and hope it'll go away. You go straight into it and deal with it and try to rescue that soul that's lost to where they can have a restoration of relationship with God. Because what we're trying to do here and accomplish here is we're all wanting to make it to heaven. I want to make it, but I want to see to it that every single one of you make it as well. For that to be accomplished, we have to take the word that God has given us and feed the sheep, and feed the sheep, and feed the sheep the word of God. And then take the seed and scatter it. Oh, folks, we're living in a time of technology. You know how I got to know Chris? Before I ever met him. Whenever we're sick in our family, my family doesn't listen to me preach. They've heard me. They don't want to listen to me. I mean, when our family is sick, and by the way, I do too. When our family is sick, we find Chris online and listen to one of his sermons. And we've been doing it for a long time before he got here. That's why when they told me it was coming, I went, "Ooh." We're living in a time when people on the other side of the world can listen to the sermons that are preached here. We've got people here who are technological wizards. Use your abilities to get the Word of God out, to get the sermons that are taught here on the website, on CDs, and realize the Word of God does not return to Him void. God has given the increase, and He will give the increase. But we must not forget our purpose and think we have accomplished the goal because we're building a building. Yes, the building is fine and wonderful, but the strength will never be the building. The strength is you, the people in it. And I believe with all of my heart that God will continue to give the increase, and He will continue to bless this congregation. But you must not, you cannot ever forget your purpose. And you must not, and you cannot ever allow sin to be allowed to come in and just grow and not be dealt with. If someone is lost, love them enough to go after them and tell them the truth and do the best you can to try to get them to have a restoration of relationship with God. Just as Peter was told, after you return, strengthen your brethren. Those of you that have come home and been forgiven, strengthen your brethren. They're going to get discouraged sometime. Just like Peter was told, feed my sheep, feed the sheep. Just like David said, now I'm going to teach sinners your ways, teach sinners His ways. Share with people around you what you know. What you know is so precious, so important. You know how to be saved. You know how to go to heaven. Remember your purpose, please. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who's not a member of the one body, and you believe in your heart that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the one body. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin between you and your God that you haven't dealt with, as I told you earlier, you will never be at peace, and you know that's the truth, until you have restoration of relationship by dealing with the sin. I'm going to go back one more time to Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. God will have mercy on you, but you've got to deal with the sin. Go straight into it, taking it to God, confessing it to Him, and turning from it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. The brethren here, honestly, I can say this honestly, they will be there for you to encourage you. They will be there for you to help you so that you can be stronger in the future than you have been in the past. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.